Join me for a hymn sing at the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. This year's theme, Things Above. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
And the women note how his body was laid. I wonder if that means they were thinking, ugh, just like a man, that will not do. You can't just shove him in there and close the tomb. We'll have to come back and tend his body properly after Sabbath.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Luke.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. In our previous study, we stood in the gathering gloom and eerie darkness that descended over the whole land, beginning at the sixth hour, high noon, and lasting until about 3 p.m. St. Luke reflects, the sun's light failed. We heard from some of the fathers and the church's hymns this idea that the creation itself just couldn't bear to look upon the Creator being so horribly treated. The curtain in the temple, separating the most holy place from the holy place, was ripped in two, thus signifying for those in the know exactly what Jesus' suffering and death has accomplished. Access back to heaven itself, back to paradise. There's no angel barring the way anymore for those who enter by means of his self-oblation. And with a loud voice, Jesus paraphrases Psalm 31 and commits his spirit into the hands of his heavenly Father, an act of trust that his Father will not abandon him to the grave. Then he breathed his last. The Roman soldier overseeing the crucifixions, the centurion, he saw all this with amazement. If he had joined in the jeering earlier, he wasn't jeering anymore. Instead, he openly confessed that Jesus was an innocent man, uniting his conviction to that of Pilate, three times expressed, and even Herod. Jesus was innocent, and so would be vindicated, be shown to be the Son of God by the resurrection. But that's jumping ahead. The crowds disperse in grief, and the women carefully watch from a distance. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter, beginning at the 50th verse. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. Luke 23, verses 50 to 56. Let us pray. O darkest woe, ye tears forth flow. Has earth so sad a wonder? God, the Father's only Son, now is buried yonder. O sorrow dread, our God is dead upon the cross extended. There, his love enlivened us as his life was ended. O child of woe, who struck the blow that killed your gracious master? It is I, thy conscience cries, I have wrought disaster. Such innocence, his countenance a fount of faith undying. Worlds on worlds cannot contain grief at him. Here lying. O virgin son, what thou hast done is far beyond all telling. How our God, detested, died, hell and devil felling. O Jesus Christ, who sacrificed thy life for lifeless mortals, be my life and death, and bring me to heaven's portals. Amen. So you ready to ponder today's reading? Let's do it. Verse 50. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. All four Gospels tell us that it was Joseph of Arimathea who, taking courage in hand, went and begged the body of Jesus to be given to him from Pilate. St. Ephrem the Syrian in the 4th century remarks upon the fact that the man who buries Jesus has the same name as the Joseph we meet earlier in this Gospel, the guardian of Jesus and spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He writes, "So that it might be clear that the Lord was entrusted at the beginning to one having this name when he was born, he further allowed one with this name to prepare him for burial when he was dead. This name receives the full reward for serving him at his birth in the cave and for serving his corpse in the tomb." We know precious little about the man himself other than his name and hometown and what St. Luke proceeds to add. Verse 50 continued. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, verse 51, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. A member of the council, so a Jewish leader of some standing. And we learned that Joseph was a good and righteous man. This shows in that he was not swayed by the unpopularity of his decision to vote against the majority. He had not at all agreed with the sham trial or with turning Jesus over to Pilate and demanding his execution. And most importantly of all, we are informed that Joseph was one of those Jews who was on the lookout for the kingdom of God. I wish we had time to go through that one more fully. For now, just note that when Israel fell to bits with the northern kingdom decimated and then the southern kingdom carried to exile, the Jews could carry precious little with them, but they did bring their scrolls. And as they gathered every Sabbath and read the promises, the oddest thing happened. They believed them. They were brought to faith that contrary to all appearances, God had not washed his hands of them, and that he would indeed send them a king from David's line who would usher in a kingdom that has no end. This was the faith that sustained the Jewish faithful across many centuries of foreign oppression and suffering. It was the faith that Joseph had, because he was one of those who gathered to listen to the prophets and credited God with speaking the truth. He was among the faithful awaiting the arrival of this everlasting kingdom. And he must certainly have realized that all the signs Isaiah had given, Jesus had completely fulfilled. Verse 52. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. It was a gutsy move, don't you think? I mean, to go and beg the body of a criminal executed by the state and denounced by his own people? Yet Joseph did it. If before he had been a bit of a secret disciple of Jesus, see John 19:38, the death of the Savior has given him the courage to love Christ openly before his fellow rulers. He doesn't worry if this act of kindness will wreck his reputation. He doesn't care. He only wants to serve Jesus in love. And love, as it so often does, has a very messy task set before it. Verse 53. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in the stone, where no one had ever yet been laid. Can you imagine how awful that was? Lowering the cross, then prying free the hands one by one, then the feet. Was Joseph able to do this without tears? And when he had finally freed the Lord's body from the wood, he tenderly covers his sacred naked flesh with a linen shroud. If Jesus had expired exposed and naked, Joseph now remedies this and tenderly covers him. And he carries the body off to its temporary tomb. Only John relates that Nicodemus assisted in this task, John 19:39. So he was another secret disciple whom Jesus' death brings out into the open. the reason no one had ever been laid in this tomb before is because it was Joseph's own new tomb, Matthew 27:60, which he had carved out of the rock for his own body to be laid in one day. The fact that the tomb had never been used provides a parallel to the virginal body of his mother. Here is 5th century Bishop of Turin, Maximus, glorying in this correspondence. The womb is the Lord's womb. It is virginal. The tomb is virginal. Should I not rather say that the tomb itself is a womb? There is, in fact, a great similarity. Just as the Lord came out from his mother's womb living, so also he rose living from Joseph's tomb. Just as he was born from the womb in order to preach, so also now he has been reborn from the tomb in order to evangelize. The last birth is more glorious than the first. Verse 54. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. Which is to say, the sun was sinking low in the sky. As soon as it set, the Sabbath rest would have to commence. Joseph needed to have Jesus' body in the tomb and the stone rolled to its doors by sunset. Verse 55. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. The women, unable to assist Joseph and Nicodemus in carrying their beloved master, were nevertheless unwilling to be parted from his holy body. So they trail along behind the two men and they watch it all. And the women note how his body was laid. I wonder if that means they were thinking, ugh, just like a man, that will not do. You can't just shove him in there and close the tomb. We'll have to come back and tend his body properly after Sabbath. Hence, verse 56. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. They head back to their homes and begin preparations for the work that they mistakenly think yet awaits them. But as the last rays of the sun vanish, they reluctantly lay aside this last duty of love. Even this will have to wait. Everything has to wait for Sabbath. So they rest on that day, just as Jesus' body on that day rests in the tomb. In the beginning, when the eternal Word created the heaven and the earth, on the seventh day, the Sabbath, he rested, and he instituted it as a day of rest. Today, the eternal Word, having completed his work of salvation on that same creation, likewise rests. Little did the women and the disciples realize how from now on they would be eternally resting in the finished work of their beloved master. And with Jesus' body resting safely in its temporary and borrowed tomb, we'll call our halt for today. You know what's up next. The women, who no doubt rested a bit impatiently for the Sabbath to be over, hurry and take the spices they had begun preparing and head back to the master's tomb. Only when they get there, the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty. Well, not quite. As they stand there in the gloom trying to sort out what this means, two men in dazzling apparel are beside them. And as they bow in fright and awe, the angels chide them for looking for the living one in that place of death. Remember how he told you? And they do remember. They turn tail and they run from the tomb to find the 11 and tell them. Luke tells us that the ladies that morning included Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and a few others. Their story, however, sounds like an idle tale to the 11, but Peter does go to check it out and realizes that something has happened. The linen clothes were folded by themselves. He marvels and he heads back to the others. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.